Hi, the name's New Bronner, Dion New Bronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership, where I chew the fat with guests from many walks of life. Yep, I ponder the big questions, and we play around with some less significant ones too. I sometimes unpick the practice of leadership, delving into what it means to many. We laugh and we explore what it is to live with purpose and meaning. I hope you find the chat as useful as I have having it. Life, purpose, leadership. My guest today is the beautiful, powerful, and courageous Caroline Sage. I admire her so. Why? Well, you'll see. But suffice to say, she knows what she wants and goes out there and gets it. Well, that's my opinion anyway. Caroline is the co-founder of Kia Consultants, who deliver solutions to the investment world on how to sustainably and efficiently hire junior to mid-senior talent. Their focus is on quality and rigorously knowing the talent that they work with and the generations that come through each year. She says, as much as they focus on the quality of their clients, what they really emphasize is internally creating a thriving culture that challenges the traditional search models. I firmly believe Caroline creates environments that people are excited to come to work in. And in a world of disconnection, she is one of those beautiful people inside and out who are all about connecting people. Oh, and yes, you may think I'm totes in love with her. Well, maybe I am. You could be too.
Look at that stunning woman.
Oh, with no makeup. I was like, this isn't a visual, is it? It's just going to be audio. That's what I thought. I was like running to go and put mascara on. I was like, no, it's all right.
No, it's Dion, for Christ. Yeah. Well, here we are with Caroline Sage. I don't know why I had to do it like that. I really don't know. Caroline
Sage. I mean, Sage. I'm wearing orange, so I feel like it needed a fanfare.
Totally needed a fanfare. And for those of you who are listening, she looks absolutely stunning this morning. Even though she said to me, "Ooh, no makeup," but actually she doesn't need it. She's natural.
Oh, natural beauty.
If that's not cheesy and corny, then I don't know what is. Eh?
Real.
It's been so good to be able to actually have conversations with people, even though we have been so zoomed out over this last year.
So I'm completely obsessed by Tim Ferriss. Do you listen to his podcast?
No.
Oh my God. He's literally number two or number three most listened to podcasts. And in himself, he is unbelievably sort of, what's the word? I guess, credible, talented, hugely smart, you know. So he wrote the 4-hour work week and then the four
oh
hour
him work week. Oh, I know who he is.
Yeah, yes. And then right. He just gets amazing people on. Anyway, I was listening the other day and I'm blown away by everyone, and I was like, how interesting would it be if he just got an ordinary person on? And I was like, well, that's so interesting, because he was interviewing Brené Brown,
okay,
who I'm completely also obsessed by, but she was starting to say that I think one of the reasons why people, so many women love her, is because she isn't afraid to be ordinary. And after all, everybody is ordinary, right? It's just how we decide to focus our time that might become extraordinary. And if we go really deep down into a subject, we can do extraordinary things. Anyway, so then I was thinking, I wonder what it would be like for Tim just to interview an ordinary person who, you know, gets on with their everyday lives and
their family.
And their everyday, but has, you know, very sort of minute, small revelations every so often, and learnings, and people that they get things from. And I wondered how that would be to listen to. And then I was like, I wonder if that's what Dion's doing. I'm like, I'm going to be an ordinary person on this podcast and we're just going to chat. And I wonder if I could say anything extraordinary.
I do see you as an ordinary person. I know what you mean by that whole ordinary person thing, because hello, we poo, don't we? We eat food, we cry, we laugh, we do ordinary things. We sometimes pick our noses. I was thinking, wow, maybe she could pitch herself.
I know. And then I'm just like, is this your ego talking, Caroline? Because I was thinking about it. I was going to email him and say, how would it be to have a few, you know, every other week, have just regular Joe on it? And then I was like, maybe I'll pitch the idea.
I think you really ought to.
And then I was like, is this my ego? Because then I was like, maybe I'm going to write to Brené Brown and say that she needs to start, like, Truth Works, but about shame and vulnerability. And then I was like, maybe Truth Works is actually about shame and vulnerability. And, you know, and then I got into this whole cycle. I was like, okay, is this your ego wanting to do these things? Or is this the next stage in your career? You know, and it's hard to, so I was like, are you, okay, so if you were really passionate about these things, you would read every single one of her books, you would become waxing lyrical, and maybe you would even, you know, study some of the stuff that she's studied. And then I was like, no, because maybe that's my art. Maybe I won't get so bogged down in the detail that I'll be able to bring it to the world. Because I do know I'm good at is like marketing, sales, and finding a way to make it really land with people in a, you know, in a way that connects with them. It's always interesting to try and identify what the why.
The phrase that struck me with you there was, it's hard to differentiate, I think, at times, between this ego, as we call it, and my, let's call it, my good intentions,
my drive or my passion.
Who I am.
Yeah.
And I think that's really tricky.
But then for some reason, we all think the ego is bad, but the ego is just I.
Exactly.
And so it is the core that drives us. It's just how we use your ego. I was listening to Brené, and she started to, so Tim and her were talking about narcissists, and they were talking about the various sort of personalities and stuff. And I was like, oh, but narcissists aren't arrogant. They have the most shame, because, and this is all in my head. In my head, I'm like, narcissists are actually the most insecure people, which is why they have to be narcissists, because they're constantly promoting their brand. Anyway, I was doing this sort of, you know, internal communication with myself. And then 3 minutes later, she literally said what I had just said. And I was like, oh my God, me and Brené, we are just on the same.
You are like peas in a pod.
Yeah. She's from Texas. I'm like, her and I. I just, and then I was like, maybe I write to her and say, I think we would be friends. And then I was like, oh, that should be a bit creepy. But it
and
is
I love that. I love that about you, because that's so important to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Friendship. And I think, I know it's important to you, really important to me too. It is the most, in fact, I would say, friendship and what it means. It means something really deeper and more visceral.
Okay, but Dion, this is the ultimate question. What is friendship?
Picture the scene, South Africa, 1987. I decide that I'm going to start.
Like 12?
Not quite. I'm gonna ask this girl out. Hold on a minute, you Raven Queen, but never mind. I'm going to ask this girl out. But we were so well connected. So I asked her out, and Jeanette and I started to see each other. And we had the most incredible relationship. It was a gay man and a woman, right?
Perfect. Perfection.
And I remember her and I having a huge argument one day. And I said the immortal line to her. Before I said that line, one has to realize, though, that I was at college/university. I obviously had loads of girl friends.
Yeah.
Loads of. Unfortunately, Jeanette
didn't like that.
No, she didn't like her. Mm-hmm. And I understand that now.
Because to her, you must have fancied all of them.
Precisely.
Because you were a great guy.
And I be, me being me, I would flirt with all of them. Cool. But hello, I'm a gay man, but never mind. So I said this immortal line. I said, don't you ever make me choose between you and my friends, because you will lose every time. Mm. I mean, that's a harsh thing to say to someone, but that's what I mean. when you ask the question, what does friendship mean? That's for me what friendship is.
Although I would beg to challenge you that she was also a friend.
I know, but that was a good story, right?
Yeah, it was a good, it was a good story. I do think it's an interesting question because, you know, if I find myself drawn to spending time more often than not with people who may not be as good friends. So I think I neglect my really good lifelong friends and I will chase tail with new friends. So this is why it is interesting, because is it the feeling that it gives you? Is it being able to be your wholehearted self, which I think is the automatic answer that a lot of people give? It's like, I'm able to be completely myself with that person. What is friendship? Friendship is people who you can be totally yourself and they support you through the, you know, the thick and thin, the high and the low, and you don't have to mask any of it. Now, I agree with that. And I think where it comes into question is, for me, I'm a bit of a dopamine seeker, adrenaline seeker. I love the excitement. I'm a saleswoman. I love the chase. It's why I didn't think marriage would ever work for me, because I love chasing. I love winning. I love getting, you know, and this sort of the thing that I think that I can't have. And so for me, sometimes I end up spending a lot of time with people who aren't necessarily my friends because I'm trying to get them to be my friends. Which is
really, it's the chase.
Yeah.
She's a starter. She loves
I am
start.
A starter.
You're standing on the starting block every time.
I'm that in business as well. I'm a quick start. Yeah. I love to start.
You've got the new idea and let's go with it.
Exciting and totally. And that is reflected in everything I do. You know, I'd love to start learning something. Will I carry it out? No. I'll love to start, you know, any kind of projects. You know, I'm not a complete to finisher. So then when a friendship starts to get to the place where I'm like, it's every day, I probably don't invest in it that much. But so my lifelong, I say lifelong, I only met her later on in life, but she is my like heartfelt, you know, deep, deep, deep friend. We're basically the same person. It's probably why I love her. I said to her, why don't I see you more? And she's like, because you're too busy chasing tail in Queen's Park, i.e., you know, trying to make friends with all these new people. And I was like, oh my God, that's so tragic and so true.
I think there's also a flip side of it, is that there is something quite energizing. By
there is.
If you are able, and I think I totally and utterly identify with you, 100% identify with you. I am a starter when it comes to the business ideas point that we've just been talking about. I'm a starter. I'm not a finisher. I've just come up with another new idea that I was communicating to the team this morning, and people were going, but what?
What about the other three ideas?
What you were saying before you were in hospital the last 4 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. I didn't have an answer to that. But that starter thing is the excitement. It is the dopamine. It is the rush. I know. It is the rush. It's like a drug.
It's like dating.
It is. It's like dating. It's like standing up on stage and presenting for that first time. It's you walking out on stage and going, oh my God, but you do it.
Yeah, and you get a buzz from it. And I'm like, ooh, they loved me.
I think I'm okay with that because I know I have a small selection of long-term friends.
I agree.
That I don't need to be like that with.
With, exactly. So then you can go back to your core.
Because there are different versions of self. And I think dopamine, exciting ideas, generating new friends version of self is equally valuable as your long-term nurturing small group of friends who you really understand and they really connect with and really, not to say that you don't connect with the new ones, but that it's a different version of you.
Yeah. But there is nothing better than that old friend who, you know, there's no judgment. They totally understand you and can laugh at your crazy without you being worried about being judged or that the friendship's going to die away. And I also think that friends help you discover yourself. You know, I think you learn a lot about yourself through friends.
So can we have friends in business? Now, as we've defined him, because there are two camps. There are two camps here we've defined. Yeah. We've defined this, for want of a better phrase, we've defined the dopamine starter, idea-generating, exciting friend.
Yeah.
Ship. And we've also decided that there is this more deep and meaningful friendship. So can we have both in business?
Friends that I've cultivated through business are because of mutual respect. And I learn a lot from them, both in terms of smarts and just, I always thought that I was a different part of myself when I was with them. And actually I've learned that I am, but that's still me. So, and I quite enjoy who I am with those people because I have to step it up. And I'm not just the buffoon who's dancing on tables and showing my pants. I'm like, I have to like dig deep and find the smart side of me. And I'm like, shit, I better try and sound a bit intelligent. And so, you know, I think it's exciting to also explore the variations of oneself.
What I understand of what you're saying to me is that it isn't clear cut. Like all of you are in this camp and all of you lot are in this camp. We have the two camp, and I operate as dopamine friend in this one, and I operate as deep and meaningful friend in this one.
For sure. The people I end up having these deep, intense relationships with, and some I've cultivated more recently in life, are the people that you just have this, you're all in, and you're willing to pick apart what's happening and why, and you know, you phone on a Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. You're like, oh my God, I just listened to this podcast and it was saying about vulnerability. And I've suddenly realized that actually vulnerability isn't about telling someone you're insecure. It's telling someone you love them and having no idea what they're going to say back. You know, and that's it's exposing yourself and not being able to control the reaction. That's
the risk. It's taking the risk.
And so, I always thought vulnerability was like, hey, Max, I'm insecure, surprise, you know, but I'm totally controlling the scenario. I'm like, I'm going to really surprise them because they think I'm really confident, but I'm going to tell them I'm insecure and that will blow their mind. then I have friendships who I'm like, you know, I'm quite poised with, but I learn from, and maybe it's quite useful because I'm growing as a person. It might be useful for work because I'm learning and I'm entrenching the relationship, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and then there's the sort of fun dopamine, constantly chasing, isn't this so fun? We get dressed up to go out. But the people who I'm like, I will be lifelong friends with these people and I want them around on my 50th, 60th, 70th birthday are the people who I'm intimate with.
I therefore wonder, ordinary people, coming back to your point, are just this, as we've described.
Yeah, we're all struggling. And that's what I love about Brené. Like, she just talks about normal life and I'm like, oh yeah, I felt that. You know, it's just... she's just so normal. She's not afraid to be. I'm like, go you. It just so happens that she researched a topic that no one really had gone in. I'm not saying she's not extraordinary because I do think she is extraordinary just for her courage. Anyway, your point about ordinary versus extraordinary. I think we are all ordinary people capable of extraordinary things. It just depends how we choose to focus our time and passion. It's why when I hire someone into care, I'm like, everyone is capable of being phenomenal and extraordinary.
Where do you think it comes from? Where do you think the extraordinary comes from? I mean, I have a feeling that it comes from within, that purpose, that essence of self, knowing who that is. What do you think?
You and I talked a lot about purpose and sort of finding that within, and it was interesting because it circled back. So when I was thinking about this, because I think, you know, we hovered over two themes. One, I feel my purpose is helping people be their most fulfilled and aligned selves. So really living an authentic, fulfilled life. So, you know, a lot of me is all about creating fun and joy and fulfillment. I don't like to use the word happiness because I think happy is a place you get to and come back from.
Yeah, but I think it's fleeting.
Yeah, it's fleeting. It's a moment. Whereas fulfillment is feeling content and, you know, your body is fulfilled. I see it as like filled with this golden liquid. And so it was interesting when I started to go down this rabbit hole of Brené Brown and reaching out to her and wanting to potentially help, you know, bring this whole exploration of shame and vulnerability to the day-to-day life by maybe doing some kind of a retreat. I was like, oh, that's interesting, because circling back, that ends up coming back to my purpose of helping people live in a much more fulfilled and authentic way so that they are content, you know. Because at Kia, I do firmly believe in helping people find their greatness.
So you're telling me you're living that purpose?
Yeah, and also I will let someone go. So I had the most amazing PA. She was just gorgeous. But she had trained as a graphic designer, but because of various different life events, she ended up coming to work for us. And I was like, and I made her resign. And I was like, you need to go and do this. She's so creative. She's so artistic. And it was a huge loss to me. But I was like, you've got to go and do this. You know, this is what you're great. This is your special source. And I feel proud that we've been part of that journey of helping her get to something that she is going to feel totally fulfilled. Yeah, so I think I am living my purpose.
So basically, you helped her fill herself with the golden liquid.
Yeah, yeah. And imagine if we could do that for loads of people. Yeah.
My simple point is that it's practical because we're practical people. We are doing beings. And when we do something and we do it wholeheartedly, to your point about filling oneself or that other person with the golden liquid,
yeah,
we move into, I think, a being mode.
Yeah. And then I guess is obviously something that you and I have talked quite a lot about, which is acceptance, you know, and loving thyself. And I have observed so that's been a bit of a journey for me. And it's probably one that you started me on when you uncovered this whole, that I was so, that I basically, you know, so much of my actions were scared of disappointing people. And that had come from, you know, young age. And I just didn't know that about myself, but it sent me on a whole journey. And then, you know, so much of my issues are around not loving myself. And what I didn't appreciate is how much that affects your other relationships. I'm, you know, scared of rejection, and because I'm rejecting myself. So how on earth are they going to accept me?
Scared of building that relationship with you.
Yourself. And so since I've been on this journey, I remember when I first got married and my sisters were like, why are you so mean to Scott? You're just awful. And I was like, oh, because he's useless. He doesn't take out the bins. He doesn't wash up. And, you know, all these stupid things. Anyway, since I've been on my journey, guess what? I love Scott with my whole heart, because guess what? I love myself. And so it is just, that's why I get so excited by the work that Brené is doing, because imagine how it affects everything. Who you talk to in the street, how society acts with each other, how you show up at work, how leaders show up for their employees, how massive corporates are then totally pivoting to have, you know, there's such an amazing ripple effect on how society could live if people just loved themselves a little more, you know?
I love it. I think this is the final question. I don't know if I've asked you any questions, but who cares? So, where to now for you?
Ooh, I know. Good question. I think if there's an end of one chapter, there will be a beginning of the next. And I think where I think there was a lot of fear and doubt in my ability to do something other than what I feel I'm good at, I feel like that fear is slowly dissipating. And I'm sort of trusting my passions and my interests. So, you know, my biggest insecurity was that I was never smart enough. Because I think my insecurities or my self-doubt are not disappearing, but they are putting less pressure on me to doubt whether I could do something else and whether I could be good at something else. And so I think there is a next stage in the journey. And I suspect it will be something around this piece, you know, enabling people to find the gold liquid.
I think that's you. I think that's so the essence of you. I think even if you strip Kia down to its basic components, you're enabling people.
Yeah.
Ordinary people.
Filling up with golden liquid.
Filling up with golden liquid. No, great. This is fantastic. Right. Thank you, darling.
So that's it. The name's Neubronner. Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.